Bible this morning. Job chapter 5. Job chapter 5. Just read two very, very short verses. Brother Tommy, would you turn the monitor up a little? Thank you. Okay. Job chapter 5, verse 6. Although affliction cometh not forth of the dust, neither doth trouble spring out of the ground. Yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. Let's pray. Father, help us now. Give us liberty to preach and power. Wisdom. May the Holy Spirit take it and speak to our hearts. And I pray, comfort thy people today. Encourage them. Help us to keep on keeping on. We'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, verse 6 said, trouble doesn't come out of the ground, doesn't come out of the dust. Yet man's born to trouble. So, trouble must come from man. Amen. So, I want to bring you a little message this morning with a very complicated title. The title is Trouble. Trouble. Whether you like it or not, and of course, I understand that it's not a popular subject. It's not something we like to talk about. Americans are great at dodging issues, you know. Nobody in America wants to talk about death. That's the reason everybody puts it off till the last minute to buy that gravestone and the plot and all that stuff. If we had any sense, we'd get all that taken care of ahead of time. Amen. That's a terrible thing to do, to make a family have to do that when you're laying there dead. But we try to hide from it. That's the reason you go down to the cemetery and they're burying somebody. They put that imitation plastic grass on top of the hole in the ground, trying to hide the fact we're fixing to bury your carcass, you know, for the very last minute. And they wait till the family gets up and walks away before they open the hole up and put you down in it and throw dirt in your face. See, we hide from things. And we like to pretend that life is going to be good, and it's going to be happy, and it's going to be joyous. And there is going to be some of that. There's going to be sunshine. But you can't just focus on the sunshine. There's going to be some rain. If there's going to be good times, there's going to be bad times. Amen? If you're going to get blessed, you're going to have trouble. It's just, our problem as a society is, our problem as Christians is, that we only want to focus on the good stuff, and when the bad stuff happens, it overwhelms us. That's why you see Christians throwing in the towel. That's why you see them getting hung up on drugs and stuff, and just all kind of things. The church almost today is as bad as the world about trying to find things to help them and sustain them and use as crutches when they've got trouble as the world does. We don't lean on the Lord anymore because we don't know how to deal with trouble, because we've been preached to so doggone much that everything's going to be good and everything's going to be rosy. And yeah, all them charismatic churches and all them guys on the radio saying, now you get saved, live for God. God won't let nothing bad happen to you. Won't you tell that to Harlan Pawpaw, Richard Wurmbrand, and a few thousand others that died in Russian concentration camps? Amen. God will listen to me. I don't mean to spoil everybody's fun, but the truth is, God will let bad stuff happen to you. Amen. The truth is, most of it's your fault. Most of it you had coming. Most of it you did it to yourself. If it doesn't spring out of the dust and it doesn't come forth from the ground, guess where it came from? It came from your bad decisions. It came from your bad choices. It came from your bad habits. It came from your bad associations. The truth is, if you'd analyze it and be honest about it, most of the stuff in your life that's caused you heartburn, that's caused you trouble, you had a lot to do with it. Amen. Amen? Now, I want to give you some things about trouble this morning. And I'll try and be brief because I don't want to take a negative subject and a bad point and beat it to death. I probably will anyway, but that's not my intention. The truth is, I got to looking at the nature of trouble. And the fact is that it's universal. Everybody's got it. In one kind or another. You say, well, what kind of trouble? All kinds of trouble. Any kind of trouble. Every kind of trouble. You can't, listen, you ever think about this? The best things in this world, the best things in this world can be trouble. They can. Back over there in Genesis when God was creating all that stuff, and boy, he was doing a crackerjack job, wasn't he? I mean, you read down through there, and the Lord was right on the money. And then all of a sudden, it all went to hell in a handbasket. Ain't that right? Now, you get out here, you're trying to live your life, boy, and you got it all planned out, and you're going to be happy. That's what you want to be. I want to be happy. I want to have peace of mind. I want to be happy. I want to live a good life. So I find me this pretty little girl over in Fort Mill, and I marry her. And we have marital bliss, and oh, it's just wonderful. Then I find out she's not the angel I thought she was. She's all girl, and she's 100% human. Amen? And before you know it, you got trouble. Amen? Now, the best thing in this world is marriage. The best thing in this world is the mate that God gave you. And you would have said yay and amen to that a week, 2 weeks, a month after you got married. Now some of you ain't going to say it anymore. Amen. And say, why? Well, because we got problems. We got trouble with our marriage. But, man, I got to thinking, you can have trouble with anything. If the best thing in life, which is marriage, can be trouble, and it can. See? You can have all kind of marital problems, but you can have financial problems. You can have health problems. You can have children problems. Amen? You can have mental problems. You can have psychological problems. You can have you can have carburetor problems. Well, not anymore. You can have fuel injector problems. Amen? You can have computer problems. Now, that's real trouble there. Amen? Last night, I washed the car. That's the second time. Buddy. So why'd you do that? Well, it wasn't because of the car. I had Lincoln Continental. I never did wash it. I washed it last night because I was feeling sorry for my wife. She don't like it being dirty. And she kept saying, you know, that car sure is pretty when it's clean. So I said, okay, all right already. I'll wash it. I got the car washed, and just as I'm getting through, my water died. I said, oh, man. I got well trouble. 6:30 Saturday evening. Where are you going to get thing to fix that thing, you know? So I go up there and I pull it all apart and there ain't no power. I said, well, that's a blessing. At least it ain't the pump. Amen. But I got power problem. And so I go and check all the breakers and the meter and all that stuff, and I don't have any power coming in from Duke Power. I said, well, at least I know where the trouble's at. So I told my wife, I said, call Duke Power and tell them, get one of them flunkies out here to fix this thing. I need a shower. And they did send a flunky. And he got out there, and he got out of the truck mumbling about, well, he had to leave his cookout, you know. I thought, you're breaking my heart, Monty. So anyway, he comes out there, and he checks around, and he walks down there, and he said, you got a bad circuit breaker. I said, no, I don't. I said, there ain't no power coming down your pole. Well, I checked the breaker and it's bad. I said, give me your meter, ignorant moron. So I took that thing and I put it over there and I checked it. And I said, you see any power in here? No. I said, you know why? It ain't coming from down there. Well, nothing wrong. I checked all that stuff before I called him. So now I not only got power problems, I got problems with this guy. He's got an attitude on me. That's all right, we was even. Well, he pulled it off and the meter base is burned up. I said, look like a breaker to you? I didn't say that. I didn't, but I thought it. But I have a power problem, man, on Saturday evening. I mean, you can have trouble with anything. Amen? You buy a new car. And I know a fellow bought one and drove it about 2 days, and the stupid thing just quit. He said, I bought this thing for reliability, dependability. Didn't make it 2 days. I said, that's what you get for buying Ford. Amen. I'm just trying to illustrate, you can have all kind of trouble. Amen. Anything can be trouble. Amen. The best thing you've got. You say, I've had this old microwave. We had ours for 25 years. I don't believe in upgrading just for looks. Amen. It worked good. We kept it. And one day we stuck the popcorn in there, which is the only thing we ever use it for. Now, we had one that had all kind of dials and switches and buttons and settings and reheat and toaster and rotisserie. And it was the Cadillac of the day when we bought it. You need that to do popcorn right. Hey, we do Campbell's soup pretty good too. But one day put something in there and it wouldn't work. Bam! I got microwave. You can think anything you can think of, something go wrong with it. You can have trouble with it. Amen? Take them little youngins you raise. Why, they come forth from the womb all red and wrinkled, but you look at them and you love them, you think it's the prettiest little thing you ever laid eyes on in your life, right? And you spend all your time and money and energy, and we dress them to the nines. Two little old girls, Candy's come in there this morning, them little old baby dolls, they are gorgeous little girls. And they are always dressed to the hilt, boy. When you see them coming, they are styling and profiling, son. I love that. I get me a hug every Sunday morning, too. Amen. Now, they get a little older, I'll probably have to quit that, but I'm going to enjoy it while I can. Amen. Because they're just pretty as a button. But you raise them little old youngins and send them to school and do all you can for them and raise them and train them and teach them. And then they get up to about 13 or 14, and all of a sudden, they start giving you trouble. And you're saying, where'd that come from? What did I do to deserve that? Have not I spent my life, devoted myself, my time, my money, my energy, everything I've had has been directed at doing them good and helping them and getting them trained and where's all this bad coming from? Where's all this attitude? Where's all this rebellion? All of a sudden, out of a clear blue sky, you've got trouble. With the thing you love the most and the thing you've done the most good for. I'm just trying to tell you, trouble can spring up from anywhere. Amen? Now, having established that fact beyond controversy, I want to give you six things about trouble. Number one, that verse said, yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. Point number one, man, what a declaration. Look at what it says. It says man is born unto trouble. All that means is that sure as there's a God up in heaven, you're going to have it. There are no exemptions. Nobody gets away. Nobody skates. Nobody hides. It is absolutely universal. If you live and breathe, sooner or later, you will have trouble. Start bracing for it now. Start preparing for it now. Start getting ready for it now. So when it comes, you won't be swept away by it. So that when it comes, you won't be crushed by it. So when it comes, you won't be devastated by it. You better start preparing now, anticipating it now, looking forward to it now, realizing it's going to come now, steeling yourself for it, psyching yourself up for it, lest when it comes, you crumble. Lest when it comes, you fall. I want to be able to survive the trouble. I want to outlive the trouble. I want to come through the trouble in pretty good shape. I don't want to let it destroy me. I don't want to be ruined by the troubles of life. So you can't live in Never Never Land and pretend it's never going to come. So, oh, preacher, I live right and my family lives right and we're doing okay and God's blessing and things are just wonderful. Well, son, thank God for it, but you better get ready for a collapse. Amen. Some of the best families I've ever seen, boy. I mean, they just sailing down and looked like everything was going their way. And they were good folks and trying to do right. And boy, overnight, their whole life turned upside down. Won't be the last time. Number two. The first point was, what a declaration. I mean, it's just an unbelievable statement, yet it's so. Point number two is, why is this so? Why is man born under trouble? How come, Brother Henry, you're going to have trouble? Well, I know you married Sister Geraldine. That's no problem. why is this little girl going to have problem? Why is Brother Steve going to have trouble? Now, it says we're going to. Why? You didn't go looking for it, did you? You don't want it, do you? Would you let somebody else have it if you could? I would. I don't want it. But it says I'm going to have it. Why is that so? I'll tell you why it's so. You're born into a troubled world. Way back there, we got in trouble with sin, and we got in trouble with the flesh, and we got in trouble with the devil, and trouble has been the lifestyle of the world ever since the fall of mankind. Now, if you've been born into a world with no trouble, you might could get through without any trouble. But you're born into a troubled world, and it's going to get you. Amen? It's going to get you. It's going to get you in the flesh. It's going to get you in the spirit. It's going to get you somewhere. It's going to get you somehow, and you're going to have trouble. I said, preacher, would you move on and find some other point? Not till I get this one beat into your thick head. We think trouble's what ought to happen to other people. And boy, you ever think about it sometimes? I've seen people that look like they had a charmed life. And people all around them had trouble, and they just seem like they're just sailing right down Sunny Boulevard there, you know. They've always got fair winds and following seas. The sun's always shining. The rain never comes. Just give it a while. Just give it a while. It'll get them. It'll get them. Nobody gets out of this world without trouble. Now, since that's so, and it's unavoidable, here's the next point. What to do with trouble? If it's coming, if you can't miss it, if you can't escape it, if it is your predestinated lot in life to have trouble, what are you going to do with it? You say, here it comes, I've got it. Well, let me give you four or five things about what to do with trouble. Number one, endure it. Isn't that a word of comfort? See, what do I do with trouble, preacher? Endure it. It's yours. I got my home. Brother Tommy's got his home. Amen? I didn't say anything about Sister Kathy. I thought that was pretty suggestive. If I was you, I'd nail him after church. You in, boy. She's got her. He's got her. You got yours, right? So when my trouble comes, you can't help me too much because you got your own to deal with. So it's my trouble. And I can't get rid of it. It's coming to me. I can't pass the buck to somebody else. It's mine. So then what can I do with it? All I can do is put up with it. I got to endure it. I got to endure it without being destroyed by it. I got to endure it without becoming disgruntled. I got to endure it without becoming cynical or sarcastic. I got to deal with my own trouble. I'm going to have to endure it until God sees fit to take it away. It's mine. And yours is yours. People say, I'm going to call so-and-so. I need help with my trouble. Listen, we'll listen to you. We'll cry with you. Amen. We'll try and give you advice. We'll hold your hand, let you weep. But the bottom line is your problem, you got to deal with it. You know, people say, I just can't cope. I just can't deal with it. Well, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Here it is. It's in your lap. Got your name on it. What are you going to do with it? Can't pass it to somebody else. Ain't got their name on it. It's yours. Let me tell you what you do with it. You deal with it whether you want to or not. All that cop-out stuff, well, I can't cope and I can't deal. Sure you can. You don't have any choice. You either deal with it, you either conquer it, you either endure it, or it defeats you, it destroys you. That's your two choices. You deal with it or you're done. That's the end of that. Number two, what to do with trouble? Endure it. Number two, part A of that, whatever it is. Keep your head up through it. So why is that important? Well, it's a psychological advantage. When trouble comes, don't let it beat you down, man. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. Don't quit. Don't sit around and whine and cry and bellyache and, oh, ain't nobody ever had to preach if you just do the trouble I got. I probably do. Most people probably do. I doubt if you got anything particularly unique. Amen. Truth is, I've either been through it or somebody I know has been through it already. Amen. We always want to be unique. We always want to be different. The truth is, there's 6 billion of us running around. You got that? There ain't much unique about us. It always amazes me. People run around thinking more highly of themselves. I'm special, or look at me, or people are watching me, or No, you're not. You're just a little mass of mud, little dust and water slung together, and you're going to be here 70, 80 years, and you'll disappear into Never Never Land, and it'll be as though you were never here, and nobody will ever miss you. I mean, as far, I'm talking humanly speaking, there ain't nothing special about us. Amen. You just another animated mud. You run around strutting your stuff like you're somebody. You got to be joking me. Don't let it beat you down. Trouble comes and it's coming. Keep your head up. I ain't going to let that thing beat me. I'm not going to run around looking all mopey faced and down and out and defeated. Somebody say amen. I don't know about you, but I got this winning thing. I like to win. I started playing golf in a little league out there at the golf course. You know why I play? The only reason I'm playing, I like to beat them. That's right. I played last Monday night. There was 37 guys played, and I played with 3 other guys. I beat all 3 of them. I felt real good. I like to win. Amen. I don't like losing. I don't like losing to nothing. I play chess with my grandchildren. I taught them how to play, and I beat them, and I beat them, and I beat them, and Ryan got to where he beat me. I started cheating. He wanted to arm wrestle. And boy, I put my arm up there. I'm pretty good at that. And he started, you know, he's 17, and I'm 62. But I felt, man, this guy's got an arm on him. He lifts weights all the time. So I just reached under the table and got the bottom of that table. And man, when he went at it, I nailed him. He said, man, you're pretty stout for an old man. I said, don't you forget it either. Did you tell him? No, I didn't tell him. I'm afraid if he thought he was stronger than me, he might whoop me. I don't like to lose, do you? So when trouble comes, and I've had my share, I'm sure you have, I'm not going to hang my head down like an old whipped dog, tuck my tail between my legs. I'm going to hold my head up. I'm going to keep a positive attitude. Amen? Trouble you may come, and trouble you may go. Amen? I was here before you came, and by the grace of the living God, I'm going to be here when you're gone. I'm not going to hang my head down and give in and give up and say, oh, I'll never survive this, and there's no life on the other side of this. My wife was talking to a lady yesterday, and her husband died a while back. And, boy, she had a hard time, and she couldn't get over it, and she didn't get a job, and she squandered her money, and she just did everything you can do wrong, she did it.
See why? Because she had trouble in her life. She lost her husband. And he had always taken care of everything, and she didn't know how to do nothing. I was talking to her yesterday. Oh boy, she about got her act together now. She found out, okay, trouble came, a storm came. It was hard. It was devastating. But life goes on, and she's got her head back up. Amen. What to do with trouble when it comes? Endure it. Keep your head up through it. Be strengthened by it. Listen, if you got to go through it anyhow, you might as well get something good out of it. Amen? Now, I'm 62, and I've been through some things, raising kids and grandkids and pastoring church for 30 years. I've seen some trouble from time to time. And I mean different kinds too, boy, from all kinds of places. Amen? So what did you do with it? I've been trying to learn from it. Let it make me be a better person, a stronger person. So I learned from it. If I got through this, I can get through that. Kind of like that little colored boy, you know. He's walking down the street one day, and he come by this old house, and there's a big old watermelon sitting there on the front porch. Man, he's looking at that thing, looking at that thing. An old country boy sitting there, he said, you want that watermelon? The boy said, yeah. The boy said, I love that watermelon. He said, I'll tell you what, he said, I'll give you $5 if you can eat that whole one, big, huge watermelon. $5. He said, can I run home first? And the guy said, sure. So the little fellow took off down the road, and he's gone a few minutes, and he come back, and he said, okay, I'm ready. And the fellow said, now, $5 to eat the whole thing. He said, okay. And man, he lit that watermelon, and some when he got through, there wasn't nothing but white and green left. The guy said, I never thought you could eat that thing. He said, how in the world did you do that? He said, I told you I love watermelon. The fellow said, well, here's your $5. He said, but where did you go a few minutes ago? And the little boy said, well, he said, we got one just like that on our front porch. He said, I know if I could eat it, I could eat this one. Be strengthened by it. Learn something from it. Amen. Get a lesson out of it. Don't let it be for naught, for crying. It just aggravates me to death. People go through things and endure things, and they never learn anything from it. I want to learn something from everything I experience in this life. I only got one shot at this thing. I want to get as much out of it as is possible to get. Amen? And so when trouble comes, I don't want to say, okay, well, I got through with that, and then something comes down the road again, and I don't know how to handle it. If I had to learn from this one, I can handle that one better. Amen. I want to be strengthened by my troubles. Not only that, boy, I got to hurry. You need to be strengthened by it. You need to be taught by it. What do you do with trouble? You draw close to God because of it. Amen. I don't know about you, son, but when trouble comes, the thing to do is get close to God. I'm not going to the shrink or the psychologist or the psychiatrist or the marriage counselor. God's better at that than any of them fellas, amen? So the thing to do is let trouble draw you close to God. Now, third point is this. What trouble should do? Now, it's coming, right? You're going to have to deal with it. You're going to have to live with it. What should trouble do in your life? Does God let trouble come just for the fun of it? Or is there rhyme and reason behind it? Well, now, sometimes it's a direct result of your stupidity. Sometimes it's a direct result of your sin. But regardless of why it comes, it can do something for you. Let me give you three things real quick that trouble should do for you. Number one, trouble ought to make you look at yourself. I know a fella that honest before God, he's had more trouble than anybody I can think of. He just goes from one disaster to another. It seems like every time he turns around, nothing's going his way. He just keeps getting knocked down and knocked down, and he tries hard, and he gets up, and he goes at it, and he gets knocked down. I asked him one day, I said, did it ever occur to you that God might be trying to get your attention? Why would he do that? I can't imagine. Listen, when trouble comes, first thing you ought to do is look at yourself. Did I do something to bring the trouble? Is this a result of my actions or my doing? Amen? I mean, if you sit around and smoke cigarettes for 30 years and the doctor says you got lung cancer, you ought to look at yourself and say, I did this to myself. Amen? Surgeon General has been putting a warning on there for 30 years. You just ignored it. Amen? Now listen, when trouble comes, you ought to look at your lifestyle, the way you're living, the things you're doing, where you're going, who you're hanging with. Do my friends, does my lifestyle, all the things come out, do they contribute to this trouble? Am I right with God if I close God out of my life? Why? See if, look at yourself and see if you can find why you're having the problem. Now sometimes maybe it's not your fault. Maybe sometimes it's Brother Lewis's fault. But find out. I mean, don't always take it for granted your living so good it couldn't be your fault.
Amen.
It could be. Amen. The first thing I want to check out, I want to check me out. Second thing is this. What should trouble do? It should make you look at yourself. Second, it should bring you to your knees.
Amen.
I tell you, buddy, there's something about having trouble. I mean, real trouble. That'll get you on your knees and on your face. Amen. While we're walking around driving new automobiles and trading every 2 or 3 months and eating in fancy restaurants and living good and wearing nice clothes. But I tell you what, you can be saved and get a long way from God.
Amen.
Because life is so good and we're so blessed that we just kind of take it for granted. We almost think we're responsible for it. We deserve it. Amen. But boy, you let trouble come. You let trouble come. I'm talking about real trouble. I tell you what, son, I know how to get down and pray. Amen. I might get a little lax when things are going good, but you let trouble come. A couple of years ago, my wife went to the doctor, and they did this examination, and they found this lump in one of her breasts. Now, I don't know why it is, but we automatically thought she's dying. Now the guy said, it's probably nothing to worry about. So come on back and we're going to... Probably nothing to worry about. Son, you are talking about the love of my life. And you say, it's probably nothing to worry about? He said, listen, just put it out of your mind. I couldn't think about nothing else. Now maybe some of y'all are more spiritual than me. But that's my baby doll you talking about. The guy said, well, listen, don't get too excited. We don't know what it is yet. Well, I knew. Amen. Man, you talk about, I tell you what, we had to wait about 2 weeks before they went in there and did this biopsy thing. Son, you looking at a 2-week prayer warrior right here. I prayed more earnestly, more intently, more often, and longer, and with more passion I prayed, and I can't remember when. I try to pray regularly. I try to pray every day, and I try to keep a decent prayer life. But boy, I tell you what, when trouble showed up on my door, I knew how to get down on my knees. Amen. I tell you something else trouble ought to do. Excuse me. Trouble should make you look at yourself. Trouble should bring you to your knees, and trouble will reveal your love for God or not. Amen. I have never understood, I'm being perfectly honest, I have never understood some people's reaction to trouble. They'll say, you go see them and say, man, we hadn't seen you in 5 or 6 weeks. Well, preacher, I know we need to be there, and we're going to get back, but we just had some things going on. They got trouble in their life. The first thing they did was bail out on God. Say, buddy, I hadn't seen you in 2 months now. I know it, preacher, and I'm sorry about that. I apologize for it. But me and the wife have been, he's got trouble with his wife. He's got marital problems. What the first thing you do? Bail out on God. If anybody can fix it, it's God.
Amen.
Well, preacher, we just didn't want to bring our problems into the church. This is problem control central.
Yeah.
This is what the church specializes in, trouble. We pray for each other. We care about each other. We hold each other up to God. Amen? The place to get your trouble fixed, those kind of troubles, is to come down to the church house and pray and seek God's face. It amazes me. Now listen, you see what he's saying. I'm saying trouble reveals who you love. Some people, the minute trouble shows up on their door, they go into 24-hour prayer mode. They go to church more than they've ever been. They go to extra meetings. They pray more. They read more. Wonder why, what it is about trouble that draws one person closer to God and pushes the other one away. It's love. The one that really loves God, when trouble comes, we go to the people we love for comfort and help. Amen? And the other one gets angry and disappointed. I thought if I was a Christian, nothing bad would ever happen. Trouble would never come. My marriage would be perfect. My children would turn out right. And so they're aggravated, irritated, frustrated with God. Amen? Trouble reveals who you love. Number five. What's good about trouble? Say nothing. Well, that's not true. There are a couple of good things about trouble. Now, they're hard to find. You got to look for them, but me being the person I am, I looked for you and I found them. And I want to share them with you. What's good about trouble? Well, I'll tell you one of the things that's good about trouble. It doesn't come to stay. Amen. It only comes for a little while, and then it moves on. You say, boy, I've had this trouble now for 6 months, or I've had this trouble for a year. Well, just hang on. It'll go away sooner or later. Yeah. Amen. Trouble is just a passing through. Now, the blessings are too. The good times are too. Amen. You're not going to have sunshine all the time, but you're not going to have rain all the time either. One of the best things I know about trouble is, thank God, if I just endure it, keep my head up through it, learn from it, be strengthened by it, sooner or later it'll pass on away. Amen? Amen. And I'll look back on that thing and say, and realize that God got me through that thing and made me a better person because of it. Amen? It doesn't come to stay. I'll tell you something else that's good about trouble. Trouble brings wisdom. Trouble brings wisdom. You'll do more soul searching. You'll do more thinking. You'll be more introspective in trouble than any other time in your life. You'll take that situation and look at it and analyze it and find out what it is got you in that problem and brought this trouble to you and this, that, and the other, and you'll glean some wisdom from it. Amen? Now, I'll be honest with you, buddy. I've been through some things I didn't want to go through. And if I could undo it, the honest truth is, I would. But the other truth is, somebody said one time, you're not prepared to minister to other people until you've been through some things yourself. Now, I don't like the reality of that truth, but that's a truth. You listen to these little old young preachers, and thank God for them. They got to start someplace. You got to get some experience. You got to get some wisdom. You have to live and go through some things so that you can go through some things. So that you can be a help. So I'm not being ugly to young preachers, but the truth is, most of them don't know which ends up. They get up there and talk about things they don't know anything about. Now, what they're saying may be so, but they're not saying it from a base of experience. They're not saying it from personal experience. It's just in their head. Now, you take that fellow who's been at it 35, 40, 50 years, and been through some stuff, he can say it with conviction. He can say it with compassion. See, makes a big difference in how you receive it. I'll be honest with you, you listen to some fella 17, 18, 19, 20 years old. we heard one a couple months ago at a little meeting we went to, and this fella kept saying, I've learned. And he's talking about all these situations a lot. That guy ain't been through none of them. He got all that stuff out of a book. Now, the honest truth is, everything that little boy said that night was so. Except I've learned. He hadn't learned nothing. He's just an inexperienced kid. And so when he said, I've learned, somehow it didn't ring true. It didn't do a thing for me. I sit there and clean my fingernails or something, you know. Now you take somebody that's been through it, and you see the emotion in their face, you see the tears in their eyes, you see the redness come to their skin. You see them break out in that dry sweat. You say, this guy knows what he's talking about. Amen. Now listen, when you get there, once you've had that experience, you qualify to help somebody else. Amen. Amen. There's some good things come out of trouble. Now let me close with this one. Where to take trouble? Or where to go in trouble? Amen. Trouble coming. You're going to have to live with it. You have to deal with it. I'm glad there's a place you can go with your trouble. Hey, I'll preach out there right now, boy, if I have trouble, I'm coming to see you. Well, come on. I'll sympathize with you. I'll sit down and cry with you. I'll hold your hand and tell you how bad things are, and I know you don't deserve all this. I'll tell you whatever you need to help to cover you, to comfort you. But it won't do any good. It won't change a darn thing. Amen. Go to all them funerals and say all them kind words, and you whisper in that little lady's ear, blessed in the eyes of the Lord is the death of his saints, you know, and you know old Henry's in a better place, and all this, that, and the other. I don't change a doggone thing, though, boy. The hurt's still there. The empty is still there. We talked to a little old lady Friday night, and we was talking, her husband's been dead 10 years, and she's still missing that guy. She said, preacher, it's just lonely. It's just really lonely. Boy, just tear your heart out. But nobody can do about it. That's her trouble. She's got to deal with it. Amen? So where can she take that? You take it to God. You know what the Bible said in Psalm 46:1? That God is a very present help in a time of trouble. I'm thankful that I have some place that I can take my trouble that will help. Taking it to the shrink, taking it to the marriage counselor, they're not going to help. I'm not saying there's not a place for them fellows under extreme circumstance. And the world needs somebody because they ain't got God. But for the most part, it's a waste of time and money. It's a futile exercise. I know one place you can take your trouble and get comforted in it and get advice about it and get strength to endure it. That's God. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. He is a very present help in the time of trouble. He is our shield and buckler. He is our high tower. You know the last place we want to take our trouble? To God. We take it to our husband or our wife. We take it to our next door neighbor. We take it to our friends at church. We take it to professionals. We shop it up and down the street. Here we are, saved by God's grace and got access to the throne of glory. We can get on our face and talk to God and the blessed Holy Spirit, take our utterances and our groanings that cannot be uttered and carry them up to the highest heaven and lay them at the feet of Jesus Christ. What a blessing. You don't have to bear your burdens alone. Man, I've been through some things in the last couple of years. If it hadn't been for God, I'd never made it. I absolutely would not have made it. But I have a God that cares. He is our burden bearer. And when trouble comes, you can flee to the Rock of Ages. And he'll not only comfort you, he'll take all your troubles and lift your burdens. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad God is God. And I'm glad when the sun goes down and the storms come out, when the way is not smooth, but troubles fill my way, I can go to him and find comfort and find help. Now, I don't mean to be negative. I'm just trying to be honest with you. Trouble's coming. You're going to have troubles in your life. You might as well prepare for them.
Don't let them overwhelm you. When you come, don't be surprised. Don't be shocked. Oh, I didn't think that happened to Christians. Same stuff happens to us and happens to anybody else. The difference is, I can take it to God. I got an open door to the throne room. I may come boldly before the throne through Jesus Christ. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Now, if you know trouble's coming and it's unavoidable, you make all the preparation you can to deal with it, and then stay real close to God. Stay real close. Say, why? He's the only person I know that can fix your trouble. Amen. Let's bow our head. Father, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Now, Lord, I pray that you know our heart, we're weak and we're wicked, and we don't want any trouble. And if you can fix it so we don't have to have any, Lord, we just thank you and praise you for that. But we're also realists, Lord, and realize my trouble's not over. I'm still breathing. If I live long enough, I can expect more trouble. And the men and women, the boys and girls in this room can expect trouble. We're not looking for it, and we don't want it, but we know you said it's coming. I pray, Lord God, help us to be prepared for it. Help us to have the right mindset so that at the onset of trouble, the first sign of trouble, we flee to the Rock of Ages. We come to thee and kneel before thee to humble ourselves to cling to thee in the hour of our trouble. We'll thank you for that in Jesus' name.